It's just a short verse. We'll see how this goes. We're just going to talk through this verse, talk through the elements of this verse, and then we're just going to give some points. And we'll see how it goes, see where the Lord leads necessarily. I'm not really sure. But we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 23. Let's pray. And then we're going to get into it today. Father, thank you for your great love. God, thank you that you're still saving sinners. God, you came, Lord Jesus, you came to seek and to save that which was lost. God, that's us. That was us at one time. That's our neighbor. That's the person that we meet out and about. God, you're still saving souls. You're still working in lives. You're still calling people into the ministry. You're still changing people, conforming people into the image of Christ. And Lord, help us to not ever be content with where we are. God, help us to keep making decisions for you. Help us to keep taking little steps of faith every single day. Step out and watch you do what you do. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for these young people who made decisions. I'm sure they didn't even bear all their heart. But Lord, I pray that these decisions that they made will last a lifetime. And not just in their lifetime, but it will impact many. Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 23. In verse 23 says this, very simple, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Very, very simple verse, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. In the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of buying unnecessarily. Have we not? I wanted to bring a roll, a package of toilet paper up here and hand sanitizer, because what we saw over the last couple of years is people ran to the store for whatever reason and bought out every bit of toilet paper. I mean, why not charcoal? You know, if you're going to be home, get charcoal or propane or steak or something. But no, they got toilet. I understand. It's good. I understand. But they got toilet paper. And they, what did they get it for? To hoard it. To hoard it. They have mountains and mountains and storage units full of toilet paper. You know what sometimes we do? We get the truth. Buy the truth. And we're going to talk about this verse in just a second. But we get the truth and we just hold it close. Hey, that's a fantastic decision. Melissa made it. Nick made it. I'm pretty sure probably all of them made it. That they want to be more active in telling people about Jesus Christ. Why? He's the only answer that we have. And so when we have the truth and we tuck it away in here and put it in our Sunday best until next Sunday, we're not doing anybody any good. And we're going to come back to this point a little bit later as we start applying it to our young people, to ourselves. But when we have the truth and we don't bother to help somebody with it, we're just like those stinking rotten people that went out and bought all the toilet paper. Hoarders. Sometimes people buy the truth, they get the truth, and then they get it to sell it at a profit. You ever see those people? They go out and buy all the latest crave at Christmas time, the toy that every family's trying to get. One year it was Elmo. I don't know why. The Tickle Me Elmo, that's like way long ago, right? Furbies and things like that. Well, they would go and buy all of them, and then they would sell them for like $500. It's a $30, you know, item. Sometimes we've got the truth. And we don't mind sharing it with folks. But we have an agenda. You know, if you'll follow me, if you'll support me, I'll help you. There are people like that, not in this church, but there are people like that. There was a person named Brandenburg, hopefully not really related to me, who used to sell indulgences. You know what indulgences are, right? Hey, if you'll give the Catholic Church money, we're going to pray and your loved one will be sprung out of purgatory. But you just got to give the Catholic Church money. You know what they were doing? Well, they were just error. And they were charging people for it. That's even worse, right? Here, this verse tells us, and it's a command, go out and buy it, acquire it, get it, possess it. Do whatever you have to do. It's an imperative. Make sure you're doing this. Get truth. Buy truth. What is truth? In John 18, verses 37 and 38, you don't have to turn there necessarily, but Jesus and Pilate are having a discussion. And Jesus says unto him that he's come, basically, that he should bear witness of truth. And then Pilate says to him the next verse, what is truth? Well, in John 17, 17, if you want to turn there, you can, but it's a short verse. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And listen, this I'm not necessarily going to go in the respect that bearing precious seed, we support that ministry, right? We send missions money. We send money so that they can print the word of God, so that they can give it out freely, distribute it to missionaries, so that they can get the word of God into people's hands. That's one aspect of this. By the truth, you spend as much as you have to spend to get the gospel into the unsaved's hands. First mission trip I ever went on was to Mexico. Can't speak a lick of Spanish, English either, apparently. I want to learn how to speak Spanish because we have Spanish people in this city who don't have the gospel. You know? So I don't mean to joke about that. I can't help them, because I don't know how to present the gospel in Spanish. But I was going to Mexico, newly saved, newly saved, but I could do this. I can learn a phrase, un regalo del Señor, and standing out in the streets of New Progreso, Mexico, un regalo del Señor, handing out John and Romans to whoever would take them, un regalo del Señor. Don't talk to me. I don't know. No hablo español. Un regalo del Señor. Listen. Changed my life. And there are ministries and missionaries who just need to get the word of God into people's hands, and they depend on people like us in our missions giving to help that happen. Hey, praise the Lord for that. It's an honor to be a part of that kind of ministry. Why? Because we're buying the truth, and we're not selling it. We're giving it away, giving it away. That's why when I go out soul winning, I don't take my favorite Bible, because when you get to lead somebody to the Lord and they don't have a Bible, what are you going to do? Well, good luck. No, you give them your Bible. Here, I've got a Bible for you. So you take another Bible. Don't take your family Bible. Right? Buy the truth and sell it not. But today I want to look at this a little bit differently. So let's keep going through here. I want to look at this from the aspect of, and we're going to continue going through this verse, but just so you know where we're going, every single one of us have gone through circumstances. We've gone through life. And some of us have paid a heavy, 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 heavy price to find out that the Word of God is true. We've got scars on our body. We've got scars in our mind. And we had to struggle and battle, sometimes with the Lord, sometimes against this flesh in the world, sometimes against the devil himself. But we fought to learn the truth of God's Word. What are we going to do with it? We bought the truth, sometimes at a very high cost, a high expense. And the Bible says, take what you've learned and give it out. Give it out. But back to our verse real fast. I want to continue this. Because it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't ever sell it. Keep hold of it. And give it out freely. Also wisdom. Now there's a lot of verses in Proverbs about wisdom. When I think of wisdom, I think of the practical application of knowledge. Knowledge is this, when I'm talking to my kids, don't stick the knife or the spoon or the fork in the electrical outlet. It will shock you. It'll be a shocking experience. Right? That's knowledge. If you do this, this will happen. Wisdom is, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to get shocked. If you've ever been around horses or cattle or animals where you had a wire electric fence, hey, that's a lot of fun. I've known guys who would just play tricks on their kids. I don't know, maybe you do this. where they would go out and they know the timing of it, right? Because it sends pulses, right? So if you sit there and hold on to it, you're going to get zapped. But everyone, I mean, if you know the timing of the thing, you can grab onto it and say, oh, I don't think this is working. Do you think this is working? And it's not going to kill you, but it is fun. It is fun to watch for somebody else, right? Hey, wisdom says, I'm not going to go touch that thing. I'm not going to trust you, Dad. Wisdom says, I'm not going to do that. The practical application of knowledge. Take your Bibles and turn over a couple pages, Proverbs chapter 8. We'll spend a little bit of time here in Proverbs because I want to look at this because he says, hey, buy truth. Buy the truth. Buy wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11 says this. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I worked at camp. I told you that. Camp Shatek up in Wisconsin. It was a wonderful experience for me. I got to see young people make decisions, lots of stuff. Learned a lot about myself, too. But there was a young lady who was also on camp staff that year, and she had a ruby necklace. I just happened to be studying, through Proverbs this summer. And so when she lost her ruby out of her ruby necklace in camp somewhere, this verse sprung out in my mind. Wisdom is better than rubies. Let me tell you something. We prayed that she would find that ruby. We searched diligently, like on hands and knees, over acres and acres and acres of dirt. Could have been in the water. Could have been in the cabin. Could have been down the drain. Who knows? But we searched and we searched and we prayed. And eventually that summer she did find it. Hallelujah. But when's the last time we searched God's word, the truth, for some wisdom on how to live our life like that? God, teach me. Teach me what I'm supposed to do here. God, guide me because I don't know. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know what that's saying? Are you coming to me again? Are you serious? I thought I told you that yesterday. And the day before, why do you have to keep coming to me? Ask. No, he doesn't do that. We do that. I thought I told you that already. God says, ask. Ask. I'll give it liberally. You want wisdom? You want to know how to live this life? You want to know how to navigate this life in our destructive society? Ask God. Seek God in his word. But we're not going to seek it like we did for that ruby, are we? That takes work. That takes time. That takes diligence. Can I say this? Today's Christianity is failing. It is. If we continue in the way that we're going, our current Christianity, we have no hope. And I understand that Christ is our hope, and I understand the Holy Spirit can do all things, but he's going to use us. When's the last time we sought out wisdom from the truth, from the Word of God, like we were missing something precious? And I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Instruction is the next one in Proverbs chapter 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction. And the idea of instruction here is discipline, chastening, correction. We don't like that. We don't like to be told we did wrong. That hurts. That hurts our man pride. But we need to learn. We need to learn that when we've done wrong and somebody bothers to come alongside of us and say, hey, let me help you. You messed up. Let me show you how to make it right. Let me show you where you went wrong. I want to make you better for Christ's sake. Hey, that's what our Sunday school teachers are doing. Hallelujah. They're taking these young people and saying, yeah, you do this, but we're going to steer you back this way. And they do it in a very loving, kind way. Right? One thing I appreciate about Pastor, normally I would do this when he's not here. He's very gracious when he corrects. There's not many people like that. I'm not like that. But pastors got that gift where he can correct you and you don't feel like a puddle of slime on the way out. Like, okay, you're beat up a little bit maybe because of the man pride, but there's hope. Like, okay, that hurt, but okay, I can get up out of this. Okay. He says, get instruction. And young people, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want to tell you this. You've got, and I think I told you this the last time I preached, but the pastor that runs the camp, he said this, and he said it to them at camp too. I hope you were listening. It was good advice. If they could make, and even them in their college and career, if they can make the decisions that they have to make in the next 5 or 10 years, 15 or some cases 45 years, depending on how your dad lets you get married. If they can make those decisions that they're going to make in the next couple of years at 40, they would make them completely different than they're going to make them here. Right? Because at 40, we have a little bit of wisdom. We have a little bit of understanding. We have a little bit of life experience. And here's what he said. You have somebody who lives in your house who can help you with that. And so when your mom and dad say, nope, I really don't think that's a good idea, you should say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Not argue. Because what are they doing? They're trying to correct. They're trying to instruct. They're trying to discipline. And when you get out of line, there is that chastening, that discipline aspect. But he says, buy it. Do everything you can to find somebody who will instruct you and correct you and keep you on the straight and narrow. Because people who don't love you, and pastors preached about this, people who don't love you don't care what you do. But people who do love you only want the best for you. And we ought not despise when we have somebody to instruct us. Proverbs, if you will, chapter 5. I'm running out of time. I don't want to run out of time, but I'll be mindful. Proverbs chapter 5 gives a great illustration of instruction. Now, I'm going to read a few verses, starting in verse 7. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 7 says this. Well, hear me now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, now this is talking specifically about the strange woman, but say in verse 12, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. They tried to tell me. They tried to tell me, and I didn't listen. They tried to tell me. They tried to warn me that he was no good. They tried to tell me that she was no good. They tried to tell me that those group of friends were going to take me places that I don't want to go. And I'm going to have to give up things that I don't want to give up. How have I hated instruction? That's what we say looking back at 40. Man, I wish I would have done that differently. And you have somebody at your disposal who can help you with that. Where should I go to college? Well, let me give you some pointers. Whether that's pastor or mom or dad or Sunday school teacher, Miss Amy, whomever. Let me help you. Let me guide you. What do you think about so-and-so? Well, for the ladies, does he go to church? Is he saved? Well, stop. In the conversation till you figure that one out. But you don't understand. He's so dreamy. Now, we don't say dreamy anymore. I don't know what we say. Forget it. Who cares? So dreamy. Woo. Anyways. Listen, you got somebody at your house that can help you. You've got people in your life that love you and want to help you. Don't despise instruction. And hey, that goes for us too. Older people, not old people, older people. Mature wisdom. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. This one always baffled me. Because Paul's writing to the Galatians, this is what he says. Am I therefore become your enemy? I hate you, Mom. I hate you, Dad. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth. When they try to correct you and try to instruct you and try to teach you, hey, that way right there is going to take you. That's a hard taskmaster right there. You don't want to go that route. I hate you. Don't do that. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Instruction is powerful, and an instructor that will teach you and guide you is so valuable. Buy it. Possess it. Keep it close. And don't ever let it go, but give it out to everybody else freely. The last word here is in Proverbs 23 is understanding. And understanding is discernment. And here's the truth, young people. Me. We don't have great discernment sometimes. And we need somebody who's been where we are to teach us. I was talking with Miss Jill, and my kids, we were going to pick them up yesterday from camp. Well, they're at my in-laws. And my mother-in-law said, can we please keep them for another week? I'm like, no! But then we started thinking about it. Well, my dad was healthy in December and died in January. Life is short. Time is fleeting. Her mom's, you know, got kidney things going on. Her dad had a stroke last year. This might be the last chance that they have. You know, Lord willing, not. This might be the last chance they have to make memories with their grandma and their grandpa. So we called them, and of course they said, yeah, we want to stay. Well, we want to come back, but we really want to stay. Stay then, heathens. No, I'm just kidding. You know, and that's exactly what Miss Jill said. Let them stay. As a grandma, she said, let them stay with her. Same reasons. Time's fleeting. That time that grandma and grandpa have with the grandkids is precious. You know what she was doing? And we were of the same mind, but you know what she was doing? Here's some discernment for you. Maybe you haven't thought about this. Consider this from another angle. And sometimes we don't always do that. We're one-track mind. It's nice to have somebody that you can bounce ideas off. A spiritual leader that you could just talk to. Hey, somebody, Nick made a decision at camp. One of the things I encouraged him to write down on his card was this. He can ask me anytime, any day about the same decision. And I get to ask him anytime, any day about that decision. We can keep each other accountable. At any moment of time, he could say, hey, how are you doing on this? And I'm going to tell him the truth. And when I look him in the eyeballs and I ask him about that same decision, he's going to tell me the truth. Why? You did it again? Are you kidding me? You're such a heathen. We already know that, right? No, that's not what it's for. It's to help. It's to encourage. So, I'll be quick, but some lessons. Young people, don't despise what you have at home. Don't despise the instructors that you have living in your very house, the people that you have to counsel and to guide you and to love you and to train you. Don't despise that. Parents, I would say this, be approachable. Be approachable. Because sometimes your young people are going to come to you and they may say, I'm struggling with dot, dot, dot. And you say, no, not my child. Don't do that. Or it could be something like this, and this is so hard sometimes. Nobody likes me, and everybody likes so-and-so, but nobody likes me, and I'm worthless in this world. And you're like, come on, girl, you're 13. It's gonna be okay. You know what we do? We put down what's very important to them, where they are, instead of taking chance to grow them and say, hey, let me give you some Bible. Let me encourage you in the Lord with this. We say, that's so dumb. What are you even talking about? I get it. It is true.
Mom and Dad didn't let me play my video games till 11 o'clock last night. Good. Get over it. Hey, let me give you some Bible of why, you know, your parents are trying to protect you and trying to help you and trying to form you and grow you into a man of God instead of a video game junkie who's 29, living in their basement, playing video games. But what we do is we minimize. Be approachable. Be approachable. Secrecy is a terrible burden. And sometimes our young people carry around, and listen, I tell them all the time, you don't have to blab your deepest, darkest secrets to everybody. I do, because I'm dumb, but, and I'm going to here in a minute. No, I'm not dumb. I do it for a reason. But you don't have to blab your deepest, darkest secrets to everybody, but you should have somebody that you can go to that you trust spiritually that you can say, hey, I'm struggling with this, and that should be your mom and dad first. That should be your mom and dad first. And you take it to them, and you lay this burden, and mom and dad, you pray with them, and you encourage them. And when you're saying in your mind, I do not have a clue how to help them right now, you pray with them, and don't say nothing, and ask pastor, because he has all the answers. And then you come back, and the Lord has given me a vision. Hallelujah. Let's talk about this. I'm just kidding, right? But seriously, we minimize our young people and what they're going through, and we forget what it was like at 12, at 15, at 18, at 23. Because we've been so far removed, we forget what they're going through. And no, I don't want to hear that from you. No, that's silly. What are you even talking about? And now they've got this burden that they can't share with anybody. So here's what they do. Truth. They go to their friends who don't know anything. If they only had a mom and dad that would listen to them. Or Sunday school teacher. And we see the signs where they're reaching out. And I'm not saying anybody in here. I'm saying generally speaking. Here's what else happens. They get on the internet in these little chat rooms. And I'm so sad. And my parents, they don't understand me. And I'm going through this. And then some charming 14, 15-year-old boy, maybe 18-year-old, he's not, gets on there and he says, oh, I understand. My parents are the same way. I know exactly how you feel. Parents are so unfair. They never care about us, and they never, let's meet up. And we can help each other. And it happens every day. Why? Because mom and dad didn't have enough sense, forgive me, to say, come bear your secrets to me. Whatever you tell me, here's what I tell my kids all the time. You tell me the truth. No matter what you tell me, we'll go through it together. You're going to get disciplined. You're going to take the consequences, but I'll stand right next to you while you're taking your consequences. Because I'd rather go through it with my children than them expect that they can't come to me, or dad's going to bully me, or dad's going to be really upset. Yeah, I'll be upset, but we'll go through this thing together. I want them to know that. Now, whether they do or not, I don't know. But all I could do is tell them, you come to me, you be honest with me, and I'll stand by you every time. Parents, I'd say this as well. And I mentioned it earlier. Some of you have paid a hard price from lessons learned. Some of you paid a hard price. And we just need to share with our kids what we went through. When I stand up and I say to them, stay away from alcohol. When I stand up, and they're 12, they're 13 and 14 in our youth group right now. They're 12, 13, and 14 years old. That's it. They're young. So they haven't really been exposed to this, hopefully, yet. But when I stand up there and I say that, I speak from a place of authority. My first cigarette came from my parents' ashtray. My first alcoholic beverage came from my parents' cupboard. What you do at home, mom and dad, really do influence your children. It does. So what is he saying? He's saying, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. You buy the truth and you did buy the truth in your adolescence and in your 20s and you're suffering and you've got the consequences to show for it. You give it to your children and you tell them and you explain to them, this is no good. Whether you tell them the backstory or not, that's not the point. You explain to them why what they're doing or what surrounds them is no good. Because here's what I know. I know what it's like to do a line of coke and spend the rest of the time in every single line afterwards trying to get back to that first feeling. I know what it's like to want to be so lost in this world, the GHB and everything else. You know what I don't want for them? I don't want them to ever take a sip of alcohol. There's so many Bible verses on that. That's not even that shouldn't even be a question. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That means you're a fool if you have alcohol in your house. Well, Jesus turned water. No, he did not make six kegs and say, here, have some alcohol, everybody. Let's get drunk. I'm the Son of God. No, he didn't. He made oinos, the fruit of the vine. You let it ferment, it turns into alcoholic wine. That's what happened to Noah. And Noah ended up in nakedness and shame. That's what happened to Lot. Hey, let's get our father drunk. That was not Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if he did, he was a sinner. And if he's a sinner, we're on our way to hell. Jesus didn't make alcohol. Stay away from that stuff, guys. You stay away from that tobacco. You stay. Now, the United States of America says, hey, tobacco's okay. It'll kill you, but it's okay. Alcohol, as long as you're 21, it's okay. It ruins lives. It destroys families. It wrecks people's health. It wrecks homes. Fathers abusive. Stay away from that trash. And some of you guys, and such were some of you, right? Isn't that what Paul says? Buy the truth and sell it not. Give it to your kids. When I say to them, I'm going to just do this, and I don't, forgive me if this is too bold. If I was to say, we're going to have some new standards in the youth group. Here's the thing. They have to wear skirts always, but they're mini skirts. They can't wear anything lower than this. You would look at me and you would say, you're a pervert. Yep, you're right. And yet, what do we turn on our TVs every day and say, hey, let's sit down and watch this as a family? Huh? That's what we're putting in front of our kids' eyes, saying, this is acceptable because this is what we support. Right? What if I said, hey, we're going to go on a new activity. We're going to go here to the bowling alley, and I'm going to buy you guys. I know you're underage, but I'm going to buy you guys a pint or two. You'd say, get out. And rightfully so. So we say to them, stay away from it. You don't want anything to do with it. But what kind of music do we listen to at our house? What I'm trying to tell you is, they're watching us. And instead of us buying the truth and saying there's danger, stay away from that trash. There's danger in the way that you're dressing. Stay away from that. Be modest. See, what happens is we say, we're going to camp, and you have to wear culottes. And they're like way down to here, and they're frumpy. We're looked at as the odd one because we're trying to protect them. You know what never happened at camp? Never once did any of them have an occasion to say or really look on anything inappropriate. When's the last time you went to the mall and could say that? When's the last time you went to Walmart or Food Lion and could say that? And yet they went a whole week at camp with over 200 campers, and never once could their eye be attracted to some young lady's flesh. Never once was a young man there looking at them inappropriately. Not once. But we're the strange ones. I'm just saying. Why? Because I know too many people. I know too many people who've gone down that wrong road. They dressed in a way that attracted the boys, and they got the boys, and then what they got after that. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Children are not a curse. They're a blessing from the Lord. But there's a right way and a wrong way. And I tell this to the teens all the time. Nobody wakes up and says, I think I want to be an addict today. I think I want to get divorced 5 times and have 8 kids with 7 guys. Hallelujah. Nobody says that. But we take steps in that direction. What I'm trying to do, what we're trying to do, is keep them from making the mistakes that we made. Mom and Dad, what you ought to be trying to do is keep them from making the mistakes you made. You bought the truth. Sell it not. Give it to them. Don't do what I did. Don't be like that. You be better than me. And they'll thank you for it later. Right now, they're going to argue. Right now, they're going to fight you. But when they're on their wedding day and your daughter's wearing her white dress and it actually means something, and she has tears in her eyes and she looks at you and says, thank you, it'll be worth it all. Buy the truth and sell it not. Father, thank you for our time today. God, thank you for our young people. God, should you tarry, they're the future of this church. God, I thank you for every person that's here. We all have something to learn. We all have something to teach. We all have something to give. Lord, I don't want any of these young people to be laid out across their bed, going through a moment of pain where they just want to give it all up without being able to think of somebody. Hey, somebody experienced the grace of God, and I can make it through this too. Just like Max was a help for me. God, I want our young people to know that you're so good and that you'll rescue and you'll help and you'll give wisdom. And they don't have to go the way of the world. They can be pure. They could serve you with all their life and all their heart. God, I pray that you would help us to buy the truth at any cost and sell it not. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.